Now, the fashion world, with its constant focus on the new and the desirable, its unrealistic images, and those sweatshop workforces, comes in for a bit of flack. But can it also be a force for change? Bandana Tiwari is a fashion world insider. For 15 years, she was editor-at-large for Vogue India, a job which took her from Mumbai to Milan. She's now a columnist with the Business of Fashion site and a sustainability activist. This week, she was in Australia to give a series of talks at the Sherman Centre for Culture and Ideas. Bandana believes the fashion industry can learn about waste, sustainability and mindful luxury from a most unlikely role model, the Indian independence leader Mahatma Gandhi. Bandana Tiwari, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Now, when we think of Mahatma Gandhi, you wouldn't say that he was much for fashion accessories. He had the white cloth around him. How's he connected to a fashion movement now?
Well, in my research, I have to say, I found a phenomenal essay written by Professor Gonzalez from the Rome University. And the title was From Dandy to Gandhi. And it shows the trajectory of a man as humble as Gandhi, who really wanted to be a gentrified English gentleman when he was growing up. Gandhi starts disrobing himself as his political and social beliefs become stronger and stronger. So when he was in England studying to be a lawyer, he wanted to be a gentleman. And of course, I'm going to keep this very short, but when he was in South Africa as a lawyer, championing the cause of Indians who were sort of the laborers in South Africa, championing their cause, he started disrobing to identify with the poor, the disenfranchised, the marginalized. By the time he got to India and he went through the scale, the length and breadth of India and saw how poorly it had been treated by the colonizers and robbed of its wealth, he had implored his country to not participate in the clothing industry that the British had started in India. And while he said that, the Khadi movement said, burn all the clothes that are made in England because, you know, they're robbing us of our cotton, they're robbing us of our jobs, robbing of us of the village economy. He realized that when he said, burn your clothes, the poorest of the poor didn't even have clothes to wear. So he literally took off all his clothes and wore what is called the loincloth, which Winston Churchill referred to Gandhi as the half-naked fakir, the poorest of the poor. And Gandhi took that as a compliment because he said, now you see that I've identified with the poorest of the poor. Now, that sartorial journey is about being able to talk about your sense of morality and integrity through the clothing choices.
So I can see that Mahatma Gandhi was identifying with the poorest of the poor. I'm struggling with the notion that a former editor of Vogue India sees a future for us in loincloths. How does it
well,
work?
I think I do see a future where we are not conspicuous consumers, that we can be conscious consumers.
But that's an extraordinary thing. You've obviously gone on your own journey, a Gandhian-like journey, to
correct.
Go from someone who was at the heart of a fashion industry, which is about the new, the now, disposable fabrics, even expensive, beautiful fabrics are gone because next season there's something new.
Well, I suppose I had to work within the fashion industry that is very consumerist to be able to come full circle. It's like you saying, I love organic food, but you know, I'm sure you did a lot of canned food before you realized what organic is all about. So I think it is it's a privilege to be able to reach a point like this. And I can't certainly tell someone who is struggling to make ends meet to say, oh, you know, you can't possibly be wearing polyester, or you can't possibly be eating from, you know, these canned foods. I think everyone has their own journey. So I completely recognize the fact that I had to go through an entire system and a cycle of consumption to realize what I'm doing to harm the environment personally. And as someone in the media, especially someone who worked in a very consumerist environment like Vogue, which I learned everything from, to reach a point to say, hold on, you know, I can't continue like this.
So what is sustainability then when it comes to clothing?
Sustainability, there's so many levels of sustainability. So sustainability is, you know, are we choosing the right kind of clothes to wear? Are we wearing clothes that are harming the environment? So, you know, we're talking about polyesters and all the horrible toxic clothes that we put not only in our bodies, but that land up in landfills and ruin our soil, the water supply, all that. Then we also have something called cultural sustainability. Are we cognizant of which parts of the world our clothes are made from? You know, are you saying that, oh, I feel so happy because I've bought a T-shirt that costs $3 and it's so cheap and costs me nothing? The fact of the matter is it costs someone something somewhere. It could be in a factory in Cambodia or Bangladesh where someone is making your $3 T-shirt and is not being paid well, who's not living in well-ventilated or not working in well-ventilated environment, is malnourished. So someone is paying the cost.
So how much, I'm sort of trying to get a sense of this in the world, about how many clothes are made every year?
Oh, I mean, the statistics are staggering, and you can just Google it and you'll get it, but we are making in the excess of 500 billion T-shirts per year. And so we do not need that many clothes. On a personal note and a plea to customers and consumers like you and me is just buy less. We don't need that much.
Buy less.
I think that it's such a simple, like, you know, we look after our health and we go on diets, some brutal diets where we deny ourselves certain types of foods. We want to cleanse our system. There is no reason why we shouldn't be on a fashion diet, why we should not commit to 1 year, 2 years of not buying at all.
That should be easy for people to follow, because a lot of things where we're required to be better citizens cost us money, whereas that one doesn't. Buy less seems pretty straightforward.
And you'll realize how little you need to exist. You know, there are tons of stuff. If you look at the statistics, the number of clothes that we just wear once or twice in our lives, we are suffocated by the stuff that we buy. You know, we are overwhelmed by it, where we don't even want to look at the stuff that we've bought. So we push it under the table, we push it under the bed. We don't want to acknowledge that we are consuming ferociously. We are conspicuously consuming.
Okay, so we're buying less. You've convinced me. We're going to buy less in the way of clothes. Of the stuff that we buy, what should we be buying?
It's wonderful to participate in the clothing and fashion world if we can buy pieces that have value, have a story. If you're going to travel to Indonesia and you pick up an Ikat jacket that's made by hand, you know the backstory, you know the village community that created it, you'll be the last person to put it in a bin. So we need to pick up things, we need to buy things that have value, that have cultural significance, that have respect. Anything that will make you hold it close to your heart. It's very difficult for me to throw away a shawl my grandmother gave me, even if there's five holes in it, because it has a sense of memory. So we need to give clothes that value, that nostalgia, that cultural context, the narrative that makes us want to keep them longer. And also perhaps pay a little bit more for that value that brings to our closet.
Buy less, buy better. But if we were all to take your advice and buy less, given that across India, across Bangladesh and parts of southern China, the vast factories of China, the Philippines and so on, Vietnam, you have people who are dependent for their livelihoods on the fact that we will buy more T-shirts than we need in any given year. What happens if we all do start buying less?
So let's talk about the fast fashion companies that are creating everywhere in Southeast Asia, in the Indian subcontinent. So what we can do by buying less and saying we will pay more if you look after the fair wages of the people who are making our T-shirts. If we continue to say, I'm willing to buy a T-shirt that costs less than a cup of coffee, then there's something fundamentally wrong in the way we purchase. In fact, what we should be saying to these companies, we don't want them to go out of existence because they give jobs to millions of people in developing countries. We should say, we are willing to pay more if you are going to give fair wages to the people who work for you.
Buy less, pay more. Buy stuff with meaning.
Correct. And we need to hold these companies accountable. So therefore, we have amazing social media revolutions, you know, the movements. One of them is Fashion Revolution that says, who made my clothes? You can tag the company that you're wearing, you know, you can hashtag it and ask them directly, who made my clothes? The whole idea is we want a system of transparency, accountability. I do want to buy that T-shirt, but I also want to know when I'm paying for it, the person who made it is not voiceless, is not faceless, is not invisible, and is being given fair wages.
One of the beautiful things about traveling to India is the fabrics. I find myself astonished to say such a thing because I'm not such an enlightened sort of a bloke. I'm an Aussie sort of a bloke, but it's true. The khadi cloth that Mahatma Gandhi was making was very rough spun initially. What has been the what has happened to that tradition in India now?
So khadi has a very potent social and political symbolism in India, right? So as I explained earlier, it became an icon of a self-sustaining governance where you have dignity of labor and all that that was being taken away by British colonization at the time. So khadi became a political sort of a symbolic message to the public at large. At that time, of course, you know, khadi is a rough fabric. And now, with all these new age designers who are working with, you know, biochemical engineers, they're working in R&D labs, they've started developing khadi, which is soft, which is supple, which is like, it feels like silk. So the idea that even though at the grassroots level, khadi started off with such an important socio-political message. Now, as consumers who don't live in such conflicted times of colonization and what have you, it's our prerogative now to choose that fabric for all its sustainability values. But you and I want to also buy something that looks good. So now you have something that's sustainable, that also feels and looks good. So why wouldn't you buy that instead of something that harms the environment?
Well, if people see me wandering the streets in a very, very soft, silky khadi loincloth, you should be personally responsible for it. And my apologies for anyone who might witness that, I can tell you. Vandana Tiwari, it's so good to talk to you today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.